You're listening to Community Radio KHOI Dory City, Ames.
Welcome to Local Talk Tuesday, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events of our Central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in. I am Mike Metz, your host for the hour, along with good neighbor Pat Schlerbaum and KHOI engineer and station manager Mike Murphy.
Our day starts out with sunny skies reaching a high of 82 degrees. Winds will be light and variable. The evening hour skies will continue clear with light winds and temperature in the low 50s. Sunset is 7:28 p.m. Currently, it is 45 degrees. The next prairie walk at the Pole Prairie, that's the Ames High School Prairie, will be held this Thursday, the 14th of September, starting at 7 p.m. and will be led by Dr. Tom Rosberg.
Pat, there'll be light there for a while, but we're getting close to the equinox. It'll be next week. What date is that?
Yeah, Thursday, September 22nd. It's going to be shifting from summer into autumn.
And it seems like it's getting darker quicker. So Sam Wormley and I talked about that, so let's have a listen. Sam, we're talking about the passing seasons.
Mike, do you remember back in December? Back in December of last year, the nights were really long and the days were really short. And it seemed like the change of that, you know, long nights, short days, was ever so slow, ever so slow.
Yeah, is it? What's the reason for that, Sam? Is that just because we're anticipating spring, the end of winter, or is it psychological, or is there some phenomenon behind that?
Well, there's some real phenomenon, and if you made a plot of the position of the sun in the sky as a function of the days of the year, you would see that it creates a sine wave pattern. And when you're at the peak or down at the valley of the sine wave form, the change of the length of day and night is pretty slow. And as you cross the horizontal line or the x-axis, mm-hmm. the change is fast. It's like at the equinoxes, the spring equinox and the fall equinox, the days are changing very quickly, like at least 2 minutes in our part of the world. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes every day. It gets longer or shorter depending on which direction we're headed. But on the winter solstice and the summer solstice, those changes, I mean, you can hardly even tell that it changes a couple of seconds just because it's slow. And then as you go down the sine wave and you cross that axis, that's as fast as it gets, and then it starts to get slow again. So here we are in September. We're approaching the autumnal equinox, or the fall equinox for people that don't know that word. The rate of change is very fast now, and it makes it feel like we're headed toward winter.
This curve that you're talking about, this sine wave, the x-axis is time, and the y-axis is light?
Yes.
Is that how it's represented on that graph?
Yes. Hours of daylight, or hours of nightlight, depending on how you want to label it, as a function of time.
If for listeners to visualize this and get an actual feel, are there places they can go to see this? I recall when I got on my search engine, I could tap a couple of things in and you could see the earth and where the light and dark were. You could see the progression between night and day.
So, Mike, if we were out away from the Earth, much further than the International Space Station, maybe on the Moon, we could see the boundary between night and day. We call that the terminator. Mm-hmm. And in the summertime, if you look very carefully, you can see that the North Pole is always light and that the South Pole is always dark.
Now, when you say summertime, that's in the Northern Hemisphere.
Well, I'm talking about summertime, in the Northern Hemisphere, what we mm-hmm. would call summertime, means that that boundary, what we would call the terminator, is tilted so that the North Pole is always in light and the South Pole is always in the dark. Mm-hmm. And as we get close to the equinox, that Terminator basically lines up with the North Pole and the South Pole. And on the actual equinox, everywhere on the Earth gets exactly the same amount of light and dark.
No matter where you are.
And then as we proceed toward the winter solstice, coming up in December, that Terminator will tilt again, but this time the tilt will be such that the North Pole is in the dark all the time and that the South Pole is light all the time.
Okay, so it's a reverse of what we call our winter is the Southern Hemisphere's summer.
Yes. So the thing that's hard to explain to people without looking at it mathematically is, well, why does it seem to change so slowly around the time of the solstices and so quickly around the time of the equinoxes? And it's just the way the Earth and the Sun line up, and mathematically is the easiest way to visualize that.
Very good. And that's where we go back to the graph with the sine wave.
Yes.
To be able to visualize that.
Yes. Right. Hey, Mike, have you noticed the length of day is getting shorter?
Yes, I have, Sam. I like more light during this time of year, and I do like my winter months, but I sure will miss the light. Yeah. Why does that happen, Sam?
Well, because you don't buy the airplane ticket to go to South America.
Okay.
That's why it happens. So the reason that happens, Mike, is that the Earth's axis is tilted with respect to the plane of its orbit. If it was vertical with respect to the orbital plane, we would have the same length of day and same length of night year-round.
Mm-hmm.
But because it is tilted, we actually experience seasons where we have, in what we call our summer in the northern hemisphere, the North Pole is actually tilted in the direction of the sun. And in the winter, 6 months that encompass winter in the northern hemisphere, the North Pole is tilted away from the sun. I really like the seasons, Mike. I wouldn't want the days to be the same all the time. I look forward to the new growth in the spring and the crops growing in the summertime and the leaves changing in the fall.
And the crunch under your feet as you're walking down the trails.
Right, and it gets really crunchy right around wintertime when it's ice that I'm crunching against. I truly enjoy the changes of season every year.
Now, Sam, you mentioned this tilt, and that's the reason for our seasons. What perhaps led to that tilt?
Well, many of the planets, first of all the planets going around the sun tend to be in the same plane. And we define that plane as the one that the Earth makes around the sun. We call that the ecliptic plane. And most of the planets tend to also be in or near that ecliptic plane. But a lot of the planets have their axis of rotation is tilted. They're not all the same at all. And the Earth is tilted about, 23.5 degrees or so?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're asking me, how did that happen? Well, we think it happened when there was a collision right after the Earth had formed, a collision with another body, maybe something big like something the size of Mars, that during that collision, it knocked that orbital orientation off by about 23.5 degrees.
So is this object that perhaps collided also tied into the formation of the moon?
Well, the evidence does appear to support that idea. The chemistry of the surface of the moon and the chemistry of the surface of the Earth are very similar. When I say the chemistry, I mean the ratios of the elements in the crusts.
Sure.
Which pretty much implies that they had a common origin.
All of the planets with the various tilts points to the fact that there was a lot of activity going on in our early solar system.
Yes. Uranus, one of the gas giants out, is tilted more than 90 degrees, so it makes it look like it rotates backward. We think the early solar system was a pretty violent place.
Very good. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Mike.
Summer's ends around the bend, just flat. The swimming suits are on the line, just drag. I'll meet you there for our conversation. I hope I didn't ruin your whole vacation. Well, you never know how far from home you're feeling until you've watched the shadows cross the ceiling. Well, I don't know, but I can see it snowing. In your car, the windows are wide open. Just come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home. Valentine's break hearts and minds at random. That old Easter egg ain't got a leg to stand on. Well, I can see that you can't win for trying. And New Year's Eve is bound to leave you crying. Come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home. The moon and stars hang out in bars just talking. I still love that picture of us walking. Just like that old house we thought was haunted. Summer's end came faster than we wanted. Come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Come on home. Come on home. You don't have to be alone. Just come on home.
And it's about 13 minutes after the hour. If you're just joining us, I am Mike Metz, your host for the hour. Thank you for tuning in. We welcome Casey Strucker with Story County Conservation Outreach and Communications this morning. Hello, Casey.
Good morning. Casey.
Well, let's go with our monthly updates. What is Story County doing this coming month?
To have many volunteer and program opportunities. If anyone, we need your help for seed collection. Now is the time to collect prairie seed, and we save it and replant it in places for next year. So we have two volunteer dates. This is a family-friendly event. Great time to get out and enjoy time with your family by picking seed. The first date is Tuesday, September 27th, 4 to 6. And the second date is Thursday, October 6th, also 4 to 6. Both of these are located at our Doolittle Prairie. And this information can be found on our website.
Okay, so is this something that the folks just show up and I assume they dress appropriately and you provide the collection bags and have somebody on site to help?
That is a great question. We actually do need people to register. That way we know how many supplies to bring. But yes, please dress accordingly as we will be tromping through the prairie off trail.
So what are some of the flowers? I assume we're going primarily for forbs when you're doing hand collection. I would say the grasses, this is a great year for the grasses, but it's always the forbs that are first in picking. Is that something that's the target species?
You're right. We are going after the flowers or the forbs. So we're looking for the liatris, which is the nice, tall, spiky purple flower, and bottle gentians and all sorts of stuff. So you'll get a little education as well.
That's what I was going to ask, if somebody would help out, identify, and then maybe give a little bit of natural history behind the plant. I know that some of these, if you do what's called a combine run to collect, some of these are shorter, below what the head would reach, so it's appropriate for folks to zero in on that. Is that the thinking here?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So this will also be our 22nd year doing this seed collection at Doolittle with our Integrated Roadside Vegetation Management Team, our IRVM. So they're full of knowledge, and they'll tell you anything you need to know.
So this team, the IRVM group, I assume when there's secondary roads or maybe even some of the primaries where the roadside, the drainage area is worked on, they go back and they try to reestablish prairie there if the adjacent landowner is amenable to that?
Yes. So this seed collected will go throughout the county, and it's great quality seed. So it's one of the greenest ways to share seed, by just taking the extra from the prairie and sharing it along the secondary roads.
Casey, this is Pat. Why is Doolittle Prairie significant in this prairie seed harvest this time of year?
Well, Doolittle Prairie is what's called a remnant prairie. It hasn't seen the decline as other prairies have. It's historically always been a prairie. So the seed that comes from there has been there for a very, very long time. So that's...
Sounds like it's about as good as it gets.
It is. Yeah. So this is high quality seed. It's used to our area. Because, I mean, even when some of these flower species you can find all the way down in Texas, but they bloom at different times. They grow differently. So even though they are the same type of flower, we really want to stick with flowers that grow within your small region, because that's what the animals are used to. That's what the plants are used to as well.
And because plants can't migrate quite as quickly as an animal, I mean, there is some slow movement, but I suppose this is a way you're using what's called local ecotype to also promote plantings that are resistant to some of the diseases that have developed here in this part of the Midwest.
Correct, yes. So they're resistant to the diseases specifically found here, and they're all drought tolerant, which is great for our dry weathers. And then when we do have those heavy rainfalls that we see, they're really able to trickle down that water and refill our underground aquifers, which is always something that we need.
That's great. I have one more question concerning plantings along the roadways. At least in the secondary roads, those are normally considered public areas. Is it okay if somebody were to pick some seeds from the plants that are growing to maybe spread on their place or maybe another area along the roadway?
We usually don't allow people to pick from the seeds found in the ditches or the secondary roads, or especially on our properties, just because we would really like that to come back next year. So there are certain areas, if you need seed, there are other areas that you could get that from.
Okay. A question I have concerning, I know there was a program at one time spreading milkweeds and perhaps some other significant plants for pollinators, and that had to do with making little clay balls or what we called ditch bombs. Or is that still a program that Story County is involved in?
We haven't done it this year, but I do know that seed bombs are a popular family-friendly event that you get to make So maybe keep on the lookout again for that in the upcoming years.
Okay. And the main thing there is to plant appropriate for this area and just don't take something off of a shelf in a garden store and do your own thing.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, there are some other projects or some other events coming up. I know you have some walks. Can you talk a little bit about those? Or perhaps, you know, the leaves are starting to change. What kind of programs do you have there?
Sure. So we have a lot of fun fall programs coming up. So if anyone's interested to get outside and enjoy the fall colors, we have plenty of Halloween-themed programs coming up. If anyone wants to come out with their family to McFarland Park, we have a program called Glow Track It, where you get to walk the trails at night at McFarland and look for glowing animal tracks that we created, of course. And we also have a program dedicated for trying shooting air rifles. So learn the proper shooting techniques at Hickory Grove Park, and this is for kids who've completed grades 4 and up. And we also have our Owls program coming up in October, and that is at the Conservation Center at McFarland Park. That's a program dedicated for older, wiser, livelier souls, and it's about an hour long, and you can come up a little earlier and enjoy some coffee or tea before the program starts.
Well, who is your guest for your next program? Do you have that on tap that you can share?
So I'm not sure the name of the guest, but the program is about the Mahdi National Park and learning about the coastal brown bears.
That sounds something like Craig Myers, perhaps, but that's just a guess, mere speculation. Casey, how about getting back to your Halloween-themed programs? I assume the County Conservation Board usually shows that outdoors is a place not to be afraid of. It takes that theme that you get out and you can enjoy the outdoors even at night. Is that still the philosophy?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we have plenty of programs that are after hours at dark to enjoy the parks. And it really is a whole different world once the sun goes down that a lot of people don't get to enjoy. So the fall is a perfect time to come out and see different types of animals that come out at night that you might not get to see in the summer because it stays so bright throughout the whole entire season. So fall is a great time to explore our parks and see what is out there.
I would think that you also get a chance to see some of the migrating animals, some of the migrating insects, not only the monarch, but the painted ladies and some of the larger dragonflies. And if you're with a naturalist or somebody who has experience, they can point that out for you.
Yeah. So this is a great time to join a program and learn something new from one of our naturalists.
Okay. Kind of one thing to just mention is I know that the County Conservation Board has been really active in renovating Hickory Grove Park Lake, and I see that McFarland Lake is also on schedule to do that. Is there anything you can share with our listeners about that project?
So we are scheduled to do a renovation on McFarland Lake. That is going to happen potentially later this fall, early winter. So what that's going to look like, we're waiting on a couple permits from different people to be able to get that work done. But we're hoping to dredge the lake and clean it up to make it and put in more fish habitat, make it a cleaner, healthier lake for our wildlife, better enjoyment for recreational use. So that is scheduled, if everything goes smoothly, later this year.
Okay. Anything to review before we wrap up with our listeners today, Casey?
If anyone's interested, I know I've talked a lot about a few different programs. We do have a calendar of events on our website, So just go to storycountyconservation.org, O-R-G, and click on our calendar of events, and you'll be able to see what is coming up and what you can register for.
Casey, thank you for joining us this month, and we'll be sure to visit with you next month. Have a great fall, and hope to see you on the trail.
Thank you. See everyone out there.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know.
And good morning, Susan. We're talking to Susan Guiazda today with the City of Ames.
Good morning. How are you?
And I see that your guest Liz is out today feeling a little under the weather, so we'll make do.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of other things to talk about. I know Liz was going to talk about some of the programs that they specifically do with the Smart Watersheds program as part of rebates and incentives to keep our waterways clean. We will bring Liz back another time. But one of the things Liz was going to talk about was some upcoming events, and I feel like I have that covered pretty well. One of the events that we're really excited to bring back this year is the Eco Fair, which is coming up sooner than you would think. I always think of October being a long ways away, but here we are mid-September, and the Eco Fair is Saturday, October 1st from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the west parking lot of City Hall. So we're going to try it outdoors this year.
Well, and I think the weather is going to be just fantastic for us. Now I just jinxed us, I know, but I'm sure we'll make do.
That early October can be really beautiful. So I think it's worth giving it a try. The farmers market will still be going on, so there'll be a lot of connectivity between those two events. You could go to one or both or back and forth. You could spend your entire morning just going between the downtown activities. One thing that is always a popular attraction in Ames, weekends in the fall in Ames are always busy. There's always a lot going on. If it's a non-football game weekend, you can bet there's going to be other activities and things that you can take your family to or just enjoy yourself. So just remember, Saturday, October 1st, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Eco Fair, in the west parking lot of City Hall. So we're really looking forward to that event being back.
I was going to mention that if you haven't had a chance, you got to look at that east parking lot area. Gosh, that space, it's open. There's a lot of potential there. What's going to happen there?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. There's and I'm getting a lot of questions about that east parking lot, just exactly what is going to go there and what happens to the parking. So what we're talking about is about the half block just east of City Hall, sandwiched between 6th and 5th Street, with Clark as its west border, and then the First National Bank to the east. And so we've taken that lot, that half acre that used to be parking lots. Actually, it's more than a half acre. It's a couple acres of land that used to be parking lots, municipal parking lots. And we have built a new parking lot to the north of City Hall, next to the First Christian Church. People might remember this as the lot where there was an ACPC small house, a playground, and then actually there was a small house playground. And I've heard all sorts of rumors. Nobody lived in it. It was a playhouse. And then next to that was actually an older home, probably close to 100 years old, that ACPC used for toddler care. And that home really had reached the end of its useful life. And that home was taken down. Those two lots have been vacant for several years. And we put a parking lot there.
And for those folks that were wondering about what happened to ACPC, they've been relocated. I know it'd be east of Duff. Where is that the main building located?
They're on Carroll Avenue in the former Wilson Beercher building. And that's where the Ames Community School District used to have pre-kindergarten programming. ACPC moved into that building, 7 or 8 years ago. And that has worked out really successfully for them. There's a very large playground area there. They're close to Banshell Park and still able to fulfill their mission of serving downtown and the entire community.
And the other thing about that is they're not on a real busy avenue, so there's probably a little more safety and you can pull off and drop off. There's just like the school was originally.
Yeah, that's a great point. They have much more amenities to offer parents, safer environment for kids, although it was very safe at the church, but just able to spread out. I think that's the biggest part, that they were able to spread out. And I think if, like everybody, if we have enough staff, really expand and go after some of those shortages in childcare. So ACPC has moved. That space was underutilized. And we did look to the north of City Hall at putting in affordable housing in that area. That was a project that we explored. It turned out that the space was just too small. We ended up pursuing a much larger affordable housing area in West Ames off state, which is the complex that we're working on right now, which is a mix of multifamily and single family homes off of state where the old Ames Middle School used to be. That project is going to be really amazing. We installed the community geothermal. So all those single family homes and the multifamily homes will be heated and cooled by a geothermal system, which is pretty cool. That will help make affordable housing even more affordable when you have affordable utilities.
I know that you mentioned it's pretty cool. It's also pretty warm too in the wintertime, that system, because I've got one. So, and the neat thing about that site is it's right on a SiRi, or real close to a SiRi route. So for folks that maybe don't have their own personal vehicle, they're going to be able to get downtown to campus town and the main city area easily that way.
Yeah, that we're really watching for the progress of that. That one has had a couple of setbacks. We ran into problems with the developer and we're rebidding the project, but it is still a viable project. Streets have gone in, the infrastructure has gone in. So keep your eye on that if you're interested as a first-time home buyer, or you're looking at alternatives for multifamily housing, really focused on families. Sometimes in this community, multifamily rental units are more student-driven, and families find themselves kind of sandwiched into situations that maybe aren't ideal. And this is going to be focused on offering family rental units. Home ownership is not for everybody. You may be in transition. And so we want in Ames to be able to provide a lot of housing options to meet people's needs where they are right now. And that may not be buying a home, that may be renting temporarily, or it may be saving up for a down payment. We just try to be able to offer a spectrum of housing options. And it is tricky right now. It's a tight market.
Okay, yeah. A question I have, I'm going to change subject a little bit on you. A number of us have pets in the form of canines, and I know there was going to be some maintenance work done at the dog park. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Susan?
Yeah, the third week in September, and I believe that will be next week. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but there is always yearly maintenance scheduled at the dog park. It starts on a Monday. They usually wrap up before Friday, but we never guarantee it. But I was at the dog park recently, which is a great facility, South Ames, fairly close to the animal shelter. If you haven't been in South Ames recently, just remember there's some reconfiguration of the street system down there. And your turn for Billy Sunday Road might not be exactly where you remember it. They realigned that intersection so you don't turn at the fire station anymore. But there is a nice set of lights for you to turn on Billy Sunday Road and follow that down to the dog park past the Ames Animal Shelter. And while I was there, it was pointed out to me there are a couple of holes in some of the large dog areas. Dogs like to dig. It happens. And so we use this annual yearly maintenance to go in there to fix the fence, to look for those holes, to identify any potential hazards, and to just do that general maintenance to keep that facility really looking nice. The dogs just love it. It is just a fun place to take your dog. My dog, I don't think, is quite ready. she has still some socialization issues. We're working on it. And my goal is to get her out to the dog park, because the dogs really can sort of run and play. And you can just see this is what dogs are meant to do. So that maintenance is coming up. And you just need to be aware that that third week in September, you are not going to be able to use the dog park. But when it's open again, it'll be better than it was before.
Well, that sounds great for the folks taking care of their dogs, and the dogs will keep them a little safer. And now they'll have some new things to check out, because there'll be all kinds of new smells there for them to figure out what's going on. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about, let's go north to the north end of the city, up towards Ada Hayden. You're going to have a ribbon cutting coming up for something here.
Absolutely exciting project. The accessible canoe kayak launch was installed recently at Ada Hayden Park. That was a private public collaboration. The Skunk River Paddlers were extremely involved in helping to spearhead Access Ada Hayden project, which was to raise at least $35,000 to help pay for the cost of this launch. They raised more than that, so good job to that group. And the canoe launch was put in, the accessible kayak canoe launch, which allows people with mobility issues to have greater access to the water. And, you know, sometimes able-bodied people don't necessarily think about the challenges and hurdles in place. But I can tell you that I hurt my knees recently. I actually fell and hit my knee, and just the bending, you suddenly realize what other people deal with all the time, that it is really difficult sometimes to even enjoy recreational options because of the physicality required just to get your kayak in the water or your canoe in the water. So the launch allows you this system of this sort of galley system that allows you to roll your watercraft down into the water, allows you to get into it, and it just takes a lot of that mobility requirement away. And I'm probably not explaining it very well, but I would suggest everybody get out there and take a look at it. It's really clever how it's done. We have a little video on our Facebook page that shows people how quickly you can get into a kayak and get out of a kayak or a canoe by using the launch. And we're going to officially cut the ribbon on that 5:30, Wednesday, September 21st at Ada Hayden. We're going to thank all the people who donated. We're going to hopefully we'll be able to demonstrate how the launch works. And just get out and enjoy this fall weather on the water. It's a wonderful amenity. I'm so pleased with it. We're one of the only in the state. So really a great new feature to offer residents.
I know that some of the individuals, the Friends group up there, some of them are also associated with County Conservation Board, and they're going to be putting something similar in, I think, when they do their McFarland renovation. At least that's what they're talking about. I had the opportunity to look at that device. I was with, and I'm going to be there again today. The city has made an allowance for the Friends to get folks out who have some mobility issues to showcase the park this time of year. And so I'm one of the drivers. So I've had an opportunity. What's really neat is there are instructions on that canoe launch, kayak launch. So it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's great.
Yeah, really exciting. Just a couple reminders this week as we go into September. Tonight is our first city council meeting of September. The agenda is posted on our website, as always. you know, it's always a bad idea to make a prediction, but it looks like it'll be a relatively brief meeting tonight. Just a lot of routine information on there, always important business. You can look at that agenda and all the supporting materials. Those are the same documents that the city council gets. Just go to our website, cityofames.org/CCmeetings, and you can pull up the agenda and see what's going to be discussed. There is no city council workshop next week. September 20th is the Story County Mental Health Expo. So the council deliberately did not schedule a workshop that weekend because they really, that week, because they really, the mayor in particular is very committed to improving overall community mental health, physical and mental health. But we have Julie Saxton with the Ames Police Department, who is our mental health advocate, who will be participating at the Story County Mental Health Expo, which is next Tuesday, September 20th at the Memorial Union. And Lindsay Fenley will be the guest speaker. And if you've ever heard Lindsay Fenley speak before, you understand she's very passionate about making sure you're taking care of yourself. And she really shares her story, and it's really powerful. And so I would certainly encourage that. The city will be having our own mental health forum on October 4th at the Ames Public Library. And we have also a guest speaker who's going to share her story about her child's suicide. So that also will be a very powerful evening. Again, October 4th at the Ames Public Library. I think the start time is 6:30 on that one. So things to look forward to, the opportunity to learn and to grow and to maybe do some self-improvement. Mental health is always a tough topic to talk about. And I think it's great that we see so much more conversation about it. And the City of Ames, and particularly the Ames Mayor John Halen, City Council, are committed to creating a community that has access to appropriate mental health and physical health resources. So.
Great message to go out on, Susan. Thank you for joining us today.
Pat. Oh, and Susan, this is Pat. In reference to the accessibility to Ada Hayden, what a wonderful amenity you've created for people that, you know, are somewhat challenged in getting around. But when you're on the water, you know, everything's fluid. This is really, really an exciting time to appreciate all that Ada Hayden brings to the Ames community. And that's at September 21st, Wednesday. What time was that?
At 5:30. Thank you. It's at 5:30. And thanks for those kind words. It's a great project, and we could not be more proud. So you guys have a great morning.
Public Information Officer for the City of Ames, Susan Guiazda. Going to welcome Del Christensen here with Iris. And good morning, Del.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I mean, pretty well this morning. We're just going to have to do a give and take here this morning. We've a little technical issue on this end, but we can make this work. So please tell us what's coming up here. You've got a peace walk scheduled.
Yes, this will be our sixth annual Iris Peace Day 5K and International Festival coming up on Sunday, September 18th. This year is at Raccoon River Park in West Des Moines, and we're delighted that KHOI Radio is one of our sponsors this year. We've got a couple other major sponsors, Wright Outdoor Solutions, Delta Dental, Charasta Indian Grill and Eatery, and Ames Vision Center in Somerset. And this is our one annual event that commemorates the UN's International Day of Peace. And we invite folks out for a 5K fun run walk. And we have a number of booths and tables with a number of international cultural activities going on. So it's just a family fun event. This year, we've got a little extra. The Iowa Premier League Cricket Club is coming out to do a kids cricket camp. So if you've never seen cricket played or want to learn a little bit about some of the strange terminologies they use, like googlies and beamers, come on out and check out the kids cricket camp.
Okay. So cricket is what people would equate with our form of baseball somewhat in the British world.
Exactly. I've not played it myself, but I was just amazed that Iowa has a Premier League of cricket clubs. They've been doing these kids cricket camps all summer long in different parks around the Des Moines metro area, and they've agreed to come out and do a cricket camp for our event.
Have you ever had an opportunity to play cricket, Del?
I have. The only time has been at one of our other events, when they were pitching the cricket ball and allowed me a chance at bat. And I have to say, while I did okay in baseball and softball as a youth, I did not do well with a cricket bat.
Well, I hope you didn't slam it down on the ground, because that would not be cricket.
That's true. That's very true. But it'll be a fun event for the kids to come out. It's a great time for people to enjoy the weather, the fall weather. The Raccoon River Park is a beautiful park to see in the fall. We're starting off the day at 9 o'clock with a morning yoga session by Yoga 6 in West Des Moines. And then we're going to follow that up with the Peace Day 5K fun run walk at 10 o'clock. And then from 10 till 2, we'll have activities throughout the park. So we're hoping people can come out and enjoy that and just celebrate the UN's International Day of Peace.
So with all of the conflicts that are going on in our world, and it seems like they're always making headline news, Dell, are we making some progress? I mean, really overall, would you say, or where are we at in our progression here?
Well, it's a slow turn. It's like steering a gigantic ship, and it doesn't seem like you're making progress, but at least for us at IRIS, Iowa Resource for International Service, we really have tried to promote citizen diplomacy wherever we can, and encourage everyday citizens to become more aware of other cultures, other religions, other nationalities, and just embrace our similarities as well as our differences. And that's getting us there, but it's going to take a long time, and it's a slow progress, and it's not something that makes the headline news. It's the little things behind the scenes that we're trying to do to promote world peace.
It sounds to me like working on a local level, developing your own ethics and habits, and you talk about celebrating differences and that kind of thing. I would also say admiring the differences that make us all unique, but can still work together. And always, I know Sam Wormley, one of my co-hosts for one of the programs I help with, he always likes to end things by saying, be kind to one another. I think it starts here locally with you and your neighbors, and have a little tolerance and learn. I think once we, and I'm sure you've used this message many times, is once you start talking to somebody, you find out how alike and similar not only you are, but your thought process, that kind of thing. Am I on the right trail here?
Exactly. It's that personal interaction with others that that we didn't know anything about, and getting to know somebody, whether it's hosting them as an exchange student, going to events put on by different cultural groups. Iowa has a tremendous number of international associations out there that we know very little about. And if you see events that are out there by the Bosnian community or the Sudanese community or other groups that that you've not interacted with before, go out to those events and just get to know the people, get to know the culture, and you'll soon find out that there's nothing to fear there, and there's more to embrace and admire within the different cultures of the world.
You know, Dell, I think we're really fortunate here in Ames with the university system. We maybe sometimes don't see the fact that there are folks outside of our community that don't have that opportunity. And I think if you would take the time to just extend a hand and or say hello and get a conversation started, that communication is big. And I think overall it probably helps open an avenue and leads to more of an understanding with folks that are different than you are.
It really is. Yeah. As Iowans, we know how to emote Iowa nice very well. And we just need to find those avenues where we're spreading that kindness out to other communities as well.
I guess the other thing, I'm fortunate also not only to live in a university setting where you get exposed to a lot of international cultures, but I've also had an opportunity to leave the United States to visit some other areas. And it's always great to come back home and to realize how fortunate we are here. But to meet folks in other settings, other communities, I think it's helped me.
It really is. Yeah. I talked to somebody just the other day who had traveled abroad for the first time, and she was just amazed, and not only by what she experienced in her first trip, but just that after making that first trip, all she wanted to do is try and find ways of going again to another place and continuing to open her eyes more. And so, you know, once we get our eyes opened to the world around us, it just snowballs. It just continues on. And that's what we need to do more as a society.
I agree with you there. So please, again, just review for us the Sunday programming.
Yeah. So it's our Peace Day 5K and International Festival. It's at Raccoon River Park in West Des Moines. That's 2500 Grand Avenue in West Des Moines. And it will be running from 9 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yoga sessions at 9. The Peace Day 5K Fun Run Walk is at 10. And our International Festival runs until 2 o'clock. You can still sign up for our 5K event. The International Festival is free to the public, but if you wanted to sign up for the 5K and receive a T-shirt for that, you can sign up by going to iris-center.org. So that's iris-center.org.
Very good. Dell Christensen with the Project IRIS, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great morning.
So a candidates forum focusing on disability issues will take place at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, September 15th, it's 2022, in the Farwell Brown Auditorium at the Ames Public Library. Candidates who are running for office representing Story County residents have been invited to respond to questions concerning disability issues raised by the sponsoring agencies, and that would be ARC, the ARC of Story County, and NAMI, N-A-M-I, National Alliance on Mental Illness of Central Iowa.
Thank you, Pat. And thank you, Lynn Carey, for your production assistance this morning with our programming. A tug of the toque for KHOI's Mike Murphy, and a special tug of the toque for his engineering for this morning's program. Getting us through this. And a great big thank you to my neighbor, Pat Schlerbaum. You heard from Story County Conservation's Outreach and Communications Coordinator, Casey Strucker, and Public Information Officer, Susan Guiasta. And we also had a chance to hear KHOI's Sam Wormley and IRIS's Dell Christensen.
And thank you for hosting Tuesday Local Talk, Mike Metz. KHOI provides a platform for citizen and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI, your community nonprofit, nonpartisan media. Remember that you can also hear this broadcast online at khoifm.org and find links to our guests and information heard during this program. Consider becoming a member and making KHOI your community radio station. With your financial support, go to our website at khoifm.org and press the yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member. If you are interested in volunteering for KHOI, contact us at that website, khoifm.org, or stop in at 622 Douglas during regular business hours.
Stay tuned. Democracy Now!, which follows and is followed by All Things Piano at 9 a.m. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI. And we will see you again on the radio.